Seasons featuring 316 singing with 10 for Him. This song was the 2013 Gospel Song of the Year. It takes 10,000 years from the Gospel Great of Amazing Grace. And it also features David's words of praise in Psalms 103, 10,000 Reasons.
Oh, my soul.
gotten to be here for a revival. That's what we're here for this morning, is just to continue to worship his holy name. 10,000 reasons, 10,000 years, those are just numbers that we put on meaning a long time, but it will be eternity, and we can never praise him enough. Thank you, 316. The first song from 10 for him is I'm Just a Wayfaring Stranger, and this is in honor of JT, who I first heard sing this song, and also in thanks to Steve Tencher, who sings this song so beautifully now. And I'd like to read just a little bit of the words, because with bells, we want their music to speak to your heart. So you have to sort of sing the words in your heart for that message to come through. And I'd like to read just the first part of Wayfaring. Thank you. Their next two songs are also just a little different in sound. The next one is Joshua Fought the Battle of Jericho, followed by Go Down Moses. And these two songs remind us of the power of God, of how he worked through those biblical heroes in a lot of respects to accomplish his means. And I hope you enjoy Joshua and Moses. Thank you. like to take just a minute to brag on them a little. In some cases, they're using over 40 bells and mallets and chimes all in one piece and sharing, and they really work hard, and I am so proud of them. Now, I think our last two are the focus of this time of year. The Old Rugged Cross is our next one. And as they play, sing the words in your heart of what it means to us, of what was offered on that rugged cross that makes this time of year so special for us. And then on the last one, I'll talk just a little bit more about it in a moment. Our last song is "Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus." And I looked up the history of this song, and Louisa Steed wrote this in 1882 after she and their young daughter had watched Mr. Sneed drown while trying to save a stranger. She said that she truly learned to trust in God after this incident. And she and her daughter eventually moved to South Africa and became missionaries. And I thought of what of the strength to trust in Jesus and then go on and serve him in such a magnificent way after she'd obviously been through such a trauma. And I thought, still today, we are sometimes faced with things we don't understand and things that we can't bear, but we can still have that peace. And I've heard so many of you testify of that this week in revival. You can still have that peace. You still are trusting through some real uncertain times. And 10 for him would appreciate your prayers as we trust in Jesus for the coming year. We are saying goodbye this morning to four of our ringers. I told them I'm going to cry. It's always hard for me to say goodbye to any of them. We practice a lot. They're so committed. And we become a little family. We spend so much time together. And as each one would step down over the years, I would miss them so much. But God always provides, and he is this time too. But it's our first time losing four. And it's certainly going to we're going to have to trust in Jesus to supply our needs. And I'd like for our four new ringers that are replacing these four to stand. Where are you, Elizabeth? Stand up. Jordan, stand up. Spencer, stand up. And who are we missing? Bree, where are you? She stepped out. So I want you to pray for them. They've got big shoes to fill. They've already been upstairs working with us a little bit. They'll practice a lot this summer, and they're so excited. That's the only thing that's getting me past the tears of saying goodbye to these four, is seeing the smiles of these four. There's Bree. So thank you so much, God, for providing. Thank you. So this morning, Kelsey will be stepping down after 4.5 years. She's away at Marshall. Emily will be stepping down. She started with us in middle school. She's now a junior in college, and she'd like to have more time to devote to her Sunday school class and to our Project Serving for Jesus ministry here at the church. And that's what I've told them. When you step down, you step into something else. Don't step back. Don't stop. You find something else to do. Lexi is going to be leaving and going to Morgantown on us in the fall. She'll be going to WVU. And we have royalty in our midst. She was named Sissonville Prom Queen last night. Oh, she's going to get me for that one. And finally, Jamin is stepping down. And Jamin's an original member that started with us in middle school. And now, of course, he's out of college and beyond. And I thought before he left to go to WVU, I was already making plans to replace him. And I got the sweetest text one time. He said, "Mom, I think if you'll let me, I'd really like to stay." And he said, "The reason is, it's what I do for the Lord." I'll never forget that. Because I thought, at a time when most young men can't wait to get off to college so they can do their own thing, he's wanting to hold on to what he's doing right now for the Lord. And I appreciate that so much. And I have seen him be blessed over and over again for staying with us, making those sacrifices, coming in during finals, coming in ringing, heading right back, those kinds of things. I've seen that. I've seen him bless these ringers so many times for their commitment to this group. But he'll be getting married in September, and he and Michaela will be attending her church, and he's already seen ways that he can be used in that church, so I'm thankful for that too. So I'm sad, but I'm happy, and we are trusting in Jesus.
want to praise you. Praise your sweet and holy name. That you answer those prayers in such a wonderful way. And we're able to have our fourth pastor back in the pulpit. Lord, please help him this morning. Encourage him. Strengthen him. That he would give us the words from the throne. Thank you so much. I love him. And I love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Will turn with me to the Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. I've been working on a thought for a while, and I wasn't even thinking about how it was going to tie in with the bells ringing this morning, but he's given me some insight on that also, and you be much in prayer. It's been a wonderful week of revival. I'm not Junior Purdue, but I love the Lord, and I love you all. I especially love this lady. Days when I couldn't take care of myself, she was there to help me. But I want to read just a portion of verse 17 of the 17th chapter of the book of Luke, and then I'm going to come back to it in just a moment. But and this verse says this, were there not ten, I'm just going to use just that portion of it, were there not ten? And I thought of 10 for him as I've watched him over the past 9.5 and almost 10 years. I've watched him grow, and but I thought this morning how important their example is to us. I don't know if you watched them as they ring, how they help each other. One's turning the page and one's moving a bell and one's grabbing, something else for him to do. But I thought of, as Susie mentioned, about their dedication. There's a lot of Sunday mornings they're here way before we are. And they're practicing getting ready. But I thought of a couple of words to describe what we witnessed here today. One word is unity. They are all in one mind and one accord, and the importance that they're all present. You see, this group is a little bit different than a lot of groups. A lot of groups, if one member can't show up, somebody else can either step in or they can change parts or, draft somebody real quick to help them. But this group can't do that. And every person has to be there. Because it would be like Pam playing the piano and we tore out half her keys. They couldn't make the sound that they make unless they're all working together. And I thought of our church. The best way that we can make a joyful noise for the Lord is that we all come together in unity, helping each other. Lifting each other up when there are times I've watched them go play and there would be one that would be sick. But they would overcome that and come We went to a church down in Ripley. In fact, it's a church that Jamin is going to be attending. We were unloading the bells and all the tables and everything, and there was a young lady that I was trying to help, and stand up here. This young lady, we were unloading the bells, and I shut her hand up in the hatch of our vehicle. And she just went, "Oh!" And then next thing I knew, she was up there playing. I didn't realize it, but I'd almost broke her hand. But that's the dedication that she has and that they all have, is that they work through situations where somebody like me tries to hurt them. But that's what we need as a church. We need that kind of dedication to come together to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And I thought as they rang together, it's so important that, you know, they're, you can see them, like I said, they're changing pages and they're doing everything. And we went to another church and they were playing and they couldn't see. The lights were, a beautiful church, but they didn't have any really lights where they could see their music very well. But they made it through and they just didn't complain, but they went on about it. But I thought, you know, the two words I said was unity and commitment. And we as Christians need to be committed to our work for the Lord, whatever it is. We need to be in there every day and every night striving to do our best for the Lord. So in Luke 17 and 17, it says, "Were there not ten?" But in this scripture, I'm going to read from 11 down through verse 19 if you want to follow along in that same chapter. I'm going to talk about ten others and what has happened here. It says, "And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him ten men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' And when he saw them, he said unto them, 'Go show yourselves unto the priest.' And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks that he was a Samaritan, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus said, 'Were there not ten cleansed? But where are the nine? And they are not found that return to give glory to God, save the stranger.' And he said unto them, 'Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole.'" You see, when 10 for him rang this morning, there were zero missing. When these lepers came back to Christ, or I have to rephrase that, when this leper came back to Christ to thank him for what he did, there was 9 missing. 9 of them were missing. And I thought, you know, how many times in our life do we forget to thank Him? How many blessings does He give us each day of our lives, and we forget to stop and thank Him? I think here Christ was looking for them to come back and thank Him. I mean, He didn't do it for their thanks, but I think He needs to know that we appreciate all that He does for us every day. So I think it's important for us to realize we need to go to Him every day. You know, how many times do you pray a prayer of thanks? You know, so many times when we pray, what are we doing? We're asking. We're asking for His help. We're seeking for Him to give us something. But how many times are we just like these nine lepers? We forget to give Him thanks. So my second thought there is thankfulness. It's important for us, first of all, to be unified, to be committed. But second of all, it's important for us to give thanks to Him because He does so much for us. And I want to thank Him today for all that He's done in my life. He's been so good to me. And I want to praise Him. There were times when I didn't feel like I could make it. He was always there. He never left me. But we need to realize, and you know, He's looking, He says, "Where were there not ten? Were there not ten that rang this morning? No one missing? Everybody working together? Were there not ten that He healed of leprosy?" You know what leprosy is? It's a disease. It's not something you want to have. It's a skin disease. And you get to the point where you have to separate yourself. It said they were standing afar off. They were standing far off, but they realized when Jesus passed by that He could help them. And they said, "Master, have mercy on us." If you're here this morning, Jesus has passed by this week in revival. He's been here in a mighty way. But all you have to do this morning is to come and ask, beg for His mercy. Ask Him to have mercy on you, a sinner, and He will forgive you. But I thought it's so important for us to give thanks. Every day of our life, it's so important to give thanks. Now I want you to turn with me to the 25th chapter of the book of Matthew. Talking about the end of time. Talking about 10 virgins. This scripture says there were 10 of them. Were there not 10? I thought this morning, in this particular reading here, I thought also in Matthew, the 12th chapter and 25th says this: "Every city or house divided against itself shall not stand." It's important we come together. It's important that we be not divided amongst ourselves. And in the 30th verse, it goes on to say, "Either you're with Him or you're against Him. Either you're gathering or you're scattering." So this morning, I don't know how many are here that are Christians. I don't know how many here that are looking for the Lord to come back again. But I want to read this scripture and I want to look at it just in a little bit different way than possibly we have in the past. It says, "Then shall the kingdom," in verse 1, "then shall the kingdom be likened to 10 virgins which took their lamps with them to meet the bridegroom." At this point in time, the bride would wait for the groom to come. He would go prepare a place for them to live, and then he would return for the bride. But the one thing that they took was their lamps. And I thought of the scripture, it says, when Christ said, "When I go away," what did it say? "Ye are the light of the world." And I thought, here are these 10 virgins. They all knew the bridegroom was coming. They all knew and were taking their lamps out, waiting on the bridegroom. And said, 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. David wrote in a psalm, "The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God." But you know, a lot of times we do foolish things. Even though we know there is a God, even though we know that the bridegroom is coming, we're often foolish about our Christianity. We're often foolish about our relationship with Jesus Christ. I thought, you know, when you talk about someone who's foolish, the definition says lacking good sense or judgment, reckless, A lot of people know that the Lord is coming, but they're foolish about what they know. They're reckless about it. They're not ready for Him. It said five were wise. The five that were wise were prepared and ready for Him. It goes on to say, and they that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. How foolish is that? You know, to go out with your lamp and not take any oil with you. You know, what's that lamp going to be good for? What kind of light's it going to... But it says, and while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. The bridegroom was coming. They didn't know when. They went out and it said that they all went to sleep. And then it goes on to say, and at the midnight, there was a cry made. At the midnight hour, there was a cry went out, the bridegroom cometh. And it said that they all rose up. And those that were, that had their, they all rose up and trimmed their lamps. And then the other, you know, the five that were foolish didn't have any oil. So they started saying, give us your oil. You know, the only way you're going to get to heaven is with your relationship with Jesus Christ. You're not going to get in because mom or dad's a Christian. You're not going to get in because your brother or sister's a Christian. You're not going to get in because your pastor's a Christian. It's between you and Jesus Christ. And I thought here it says, then they, those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went out, and while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. You'll remember in the revival, Junior was talking about the ark. You know, when Moses went into the ark, and the animals went into the ark, the scripture says, and God shut the door. There were people that, after it started raining, changed their mind. They thought, boy, I'd like to get on board. But you know, there's coming a day when it's going to be too late. There's coming a day that if you don't give your heart to Jesus Christ, it's going to be too late for you. I thought, you know, all these virgins here, as they'd gathered together, they realized He was coming. But five were ready, and five were not. I would hate to think that looking at this congregation this morning, that 50% of you wouldn't make it. And I'm not the one that's going to make that call who makes it. The scripture says they went out, they went and bought their oil after this. They tried to make preparations, but you know, making preparation after the bridegroom comes, it's going to be too late. According to the scripture, Christ is the bridegroom and the church is the bride. And He's going to come for those that are watching and waiting for Him to come. You see, when it got there, even though they maybe sat in Sunday school or sat in church all their lives, but they didn't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, the bridegroom came, took them in, the five that were ready, and then He shut the door. And listen to what He says in this last verse. I don't know your heart here this morning, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you realize there is a God, or you wouldn't be here, I don't think. I'm glad that you realize that the bridegroom's coming, but it's not enough just to know He's coming. You need to know Him as your personal Savior. You need to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And this is what the bridegroom answered. They went to the house, and as Junior spoke on Wednesday night about heaven and hell. He said, every knee's going to bow. Everybody's going to see heaven. Everybody's going to stand before God and the judgment. But only those who have accepted His Son as their personal Savior will be able to stay. Those that aren't will be cast into outer darkness. But the bridegroom answered this, and he said this. But he said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. That's going to be a sad day. That's going to be a sad day for those who knew He was coming, those who knew about Him as Jesus Christ, the Son of God. But I thought of this. And then he went on to say, it says, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. We don't know when He's coming. Angels in heaven don't know when He's coming. But I thought of these past 2 weeks. We recognized 2 weeks ago, Palm Sunday, when He made His triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And last, the week after that, we realized that they crucified Him. And they buried Him in a borrowed tomb. But on the third day, He arose from the grave. And because of that resurrection, we got hope today. If it wasn't for that, there would be no need for us to gather here. But I want you to think this morning, where do you stand? Do you worship the Lord in spirit and truth? Do you know Him as your personal Savior? Or just know about Him? In this scripture, there were five that made it, and there were five that were missing. Were there not 10? 10 for Him rang this morning, and there was nobody missing. You can't miss in that group, or they can't play. The lepers, Christ did a great miracle to them. One of the things that they had to do was go to the priest and prove themselves clean. And it said as they went to the priest, they were made whole. And yet they went on about their way, just forgetting to ever come back and thank. 9 of them were showed up missing. Oftentimes in church, we have a lot of Christians who are MIA. Does anybody know what MIA means? Missing in action. If we love the Lord, if we want to stand before Him one day, we ought to know Him as our personal Savior. And that relationship should be the greatest relationship that we ever work on as an individual. You see, those 10 virgins, they all knew He was coming. They all realized the bridegroom was coming. But half of them didn't have any oil in their lamp. They didn't have any way to show a light. I hope that each of you here this morning are being a light to a lost and dying world. Some people never read the Bible. Some people never go to church. You know what how those people get to know Jesus Christ? It's by your light and how you live your light before them. If you're here this morning, I don't want anybody to be left behind. I don't want anybody, as we get a song of invitation, I don't want anybody on that day when they stand at the bridegroom's chambers and they're knocking, let me in, let me in. I don't want anybody to hear these words. I know you not. But I would like for you this morning, you say, how old do I have to be a Christian? How old do you have to be a Christian? According to the Word, it says when you come to the age of accountability. You say, what age is that, Aaron? We don't know what age that is. because it's an individual thing. When God speaks to your heart, you know you're lost, you've come to the age of accountability. You realize you need to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. I've witnessed young children, 5 years old, and some younger than that, who knew they were lost, and they asked Jesus Christ to come into their life. What's Kathy's husband's name? Ed? Ed Davis gave a testimony, I believe it was Friday night. And his whole testimony was about one thing. He was sharing about his father, who I believe he said was an alcoholic, but his father who was lost. And he shared about him giving his heart to Jesus Christ. I think he's being baptized today even. 78 years old. So it doesn't matter if you're 5. It doesn't matter if you're 95. Well, you need to come and give your heart to Jesus Christ. It's not a thing about playing church. You say, Aaron, I've come to church all my life. That's good. But you'll be like the 5 virgins who knew he was coming, but you weren't ready for him if you haven't given your heart to Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning, you say, well, Aaron, I don't know what to do. All you need to do is come and humble yourself and ask him to forgive you. You say, Aaron, I used to be involved in church, but I'm not very active anymore. Did God change in your life? Well, who changed? Who is it that caused you not to be more active? You say, well, it's probably that church. That church caused me to be that way. You need to come and surrender your heart to Christ and to have that joy restored into your life. You know, a person who knew Christ and walked away from him, I believe he's a miserable person. Or she's a miserable person. But I believe this morning that God's got something for you. And you know what's good about this service this morning is, you can come this morning, you come back tonight, you can come back Monday night. You're going to get some of the revival that you haven't been able to be in so far. I don't want you to be left behind. I don't want him to say that to you. So as we stand and as we sing, whatever your condition is, whatever your need is, bring it to the Lord. He's here to save you this morning, if you'll come, as we stand, as we sing.
Page 52.
But sorrow you feel.
We trust that you can be unified and committed to the Lord. We trust that we'll remember to giving thanks each and every day. Scripture says in all things, giving thanks. We need to remember that. But most of all, be ready. Be watching every day because He's coming soon. You say, I've heard that for years, Aaron. I have too. But believe me, the next thing to take place, in the first chapter of Acts, it says He ascended into heaven. Two men in white apparel were standing there, and they said, why ye men of Galilee stand gazing into the heavens? This same Jesus that you see going away is coming again in like manner. He's coming for His church. He's coming for His bride. Be ready. Be watching for His return so that when He comes, you can stand before Him and He can say to you, enter in, thou good and faithful servant. Please remember our revival. Please remember those requests that have been brought up through the revival. Pray hard. God's in the saving. He's in the healing. He's in the helping business. He'll do whatever it takes to help you through whatever you're going through. So don't forget to pray and ask Him for those things. And again, we want to, tonight, 10 for Him is going to be visiting Fisher Chapel. We don't want you following him. Sometimes I have to because I know the director and have to. But if you knew the hours that she spends making preparation for them, you'd say, how does she do it? And I don't know how she does it, and I live with her. But I'm thankful for her dedication and touching these young people's lives. They get together and they have their prayer. They have their worship service together. And they pray for each other. So remember them. Remember those that are coming in, just starting out. It'll be rough for them for a while, but I believe they've got a determination to make it work. So just pray for them tonight. Come back tonight for the service. Board meeting right after church this morning. And again, remember the revival. Remember Brother Junior. He was supposed to have a procedure, I think, on Tuesday on his back. So remember him, that God will give him strength to be able to speak to us. If you haven't heard him, if you didn't get the opportunity to come this week, come back Monday. He'll be here again. And I know it's been a wonderful place to be. There's been a sweet spirit in this place. So we won't dismiss, but we'll say God bless you. Did I leave anything else? God bless you.